as we finish out the end of It's Starting With Me, we're this part will always be the same as to why we pray. And I was telling a friend of mine, it gets really easy when you talk about things and talk about ideas that when you lead something, you can get it in your brain and say, okay, this is why I'm thinking this or this is why, but no one else has any idea what you're talking about. You've had enough conversations with yourself in your own head that sometimes you just got to get them out loud, all right? And so we will say these two things for as long as this continues. We're praying that God would move in our day and in our generation, and we're asking that you would see people come to know God, the gospel getting to your friends. And so we believe that the bedrock for that and every time that that's going to begin is because we pray. So we're going to pray and sing the Bible today. We're going to corporately pray together today, and you're going to pray for someone today. Every one of those would be the way that you would ever pray in the world. You'll do those three, and if you can do that here, you can do that anywhere. And so the last time that we're going to cover this and saying that it starts with me, I shared a graph on Wednesday that I'm going to point back to today. But it's just this overestimate, underestimate. It's the only way I'll do it. But there's many of us will overestimate our short-term potential and underestimate what it means to be faithful for our whole life. So we've talked about three things that our pastor has felt our church has stepped into: capacity, connection, and impact. And he's actually going to bring that to the beginning part of a giving process for our church today. So your parents, grandma, grandpa, whoever brought you is going to be encouraged in the sanctuary to give in the same way that we encourage you to give in that 5 weeks that we are running through this. And those three things are capacity. We believe God wants to increase the number of people that we're reaching, therefore the gospel getting to your friends, which is why we put out every chair. My anticipation is every one of these chairs is going to be filled with somebody coming to know Jesus as we get into the summertime. And so just addressing really quickly the hot summer night stuff, we've ran through it a ton. This week will be Serve Springfield. That's how we're going to start. And then after that, we'll have events that'll get us through the beginning of July with America Night. And then in the middle part or the middle-ish part of summer, we'll get into summer camp and going to Desperation. And then we'll close that out with a back-to-school bash, which will be around the 10th of August, I think. All right. And then that will be, there'll be an event every week starting at 6:30, continuing until 7:15, 7:30. And then we'll jump in here and do something we call Just Ask. We've been given a bunch of questions through the spring from you all and from other students. And we're going to cover a variety of topics that you can see on the screen. That each week we'll have about two big questions we'll cover and then the series of questions that come after that. So if right now you were to text the factory to 22333, you would get involved in this like anonymous group texting thing, that it would just let us know the questions you have without you having to walk up to me and feeling awkward about it. So you can ask any question in the whole world there. We've also got a piece of paper at the information booth that you could write that down, and then we would get it. And we're going to look to address every one of those in the 9 weeks that we have together as we look at the summertime. So that was our way of saying there's a very intentional way we're looking at how can we get to capacity. Then we start talking about connection and saying it's the most connected period in history. The most, like, you're more connected with people now, and you're connected with strangers that you honestly don't even consider that big of a friend. Like, it's connected with people that you probably haven't even met yet. The internet is literally changing the whole world. We were sitting at dinner last night with one student of ours, and she had graduated a couple years ago, and she now had a boyfriend that she wanted me to meet, which I thought was awesome. And so we had this dinner with, it was me, Rachel, and the two of them. And they were saying the way that they started dating, and I'm like, that would have never happened in my day. And I can't believe I'm using the phrase, like, in my day. Like, I mean, that's something my mom and dad always said, but now I'm talking about it. Dating in my day was not like that. Like, you don't spit game over the internet. You got to do that in person. And yet, there's a lot of people who are like, hey, yo, girl, right, or using, like, poked on Facebook. Hey, right, like, that's the way that you're going to holler at somebody. And they were even talking about how, like, on Instagram, there'd be these moments where they, like, commented on a picture, and they're like, oh, snap, y'all. Like, I can't even imagine that a comment on a picture was enough for some girl to be like, I think he may like me. Look at this comment, right? It's just so ridiculous, all right? And this is where we've come to. Even Caleb did this little video on Wednesday night, and then, like, in the period of, like, 24 hours, it had reached over 1,000 people. Like, 1,000 people had watched 10 minutes of me. That's ridiculous. But that happened, again, because of connections, like, with the world that just never would have happened before. And yet that immense amount of connection is leading to an unbelievable sense of loneliness, that people are incredibly connected and yet incredibly disconnected at the same time. And so we're saying Jesus in the body of Christ has a way of bringing people together that creates connections you could never get anywhere else in the whole world. And that's what makes this unique. And then the last piece we talked about was impact. And so there were a couple quotes that I kind of set up, but the way we put it on Wednesday night was, you will overestimate what you can accomplish in the short term, and you will underestimate what you can accomplish in the long term, using kind of this bottom line that had the over-under. And these quotes, we said it like this. You tend to overestimate what God wants to do in the short run. This disillusions you and then causes you to underestimate what God will do through you in the long run. And so we gave you this graph, a picture that allowed you to see when most people think of the future, they think of it as some far-off target, like I'm going to be here. And when you look at here, you'll find out very quickly that there and where you're infinitely further away than when you started. There's just no way for reality of life to settle in until you get out there and you go, this is not what I anticipated. And you can ask anybody who graduated high school 2 years after high school, they're saying, I'm not where I thought I would be at this part of life. Ask somebody who graduated college, this isn't where I anticipated I'd be at this part of life. And it's not a negative, it's just, I didn't see it working like this. And so when you're under that, you start to feel like, man, maybe I missed God, or maybe I didn't understand what God was asking me. And so you'll start to settle in on some dreams because you're disillusioned. You'll say, well, that must not be possible anymore. And the truth is that where you may feel on the underside of the short term, your faithfulness long term will put you infinitely further ahead than you ever imagined. The value and the impact that you can have in this life gets way further down the road because of how you got disillusioned on the other side. And so you will likely overestimate what you're going to do in the short term, and you'll underestimate what God wants to do in you with a lifetime of faithfulness. And so the encouragement for all of us is that our following of Jesus is not us trying to make a lot of noise in a short amount of time and then get old and kind of coast it. Our following of Jesus is every step in following him is causing us to love him more and more, to trust him more and more, to lean into him more and more, and that faithfulness over a lifetime will produce a far greater effect. And so, again, for every one of you, even when we look at the summertime, odds are you will overestimate the impact of what you could do in a summer. But you having a lifetime of faithfulness to your friends, to your family, to those who don't know, your lifetime of faithfulness and walking that out before God, that matters infinitely more than some zealous run for a couple of days, right? Because everybody knows the person who got really passionate about something for a short amount of time, and then they just didn't care about it again. And our intention in following Jesus is not, we're going to get gung-ho for a couple of months and then call it quits. We're in the process of, I'm following Jesus for my whole life. And some people say, like, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. I'm trying to sprint a marathon is where I'm at. I'm trying to run hard forever, all right? This is like running like it's an 800 and it's like 29 miles. I'm just going to run like those guys who do the Boston Marathon in like 2 hours. I'm just going to kill that, right? Just sprint for a marathon. And if you will be faithful for your life, that will go on forever. And so here's even like a really quick window. This girl last night, when we met this guy, one of the reasons, like anytime someone wants to meet with me, I get nervous because usually it's bad news. Like no one's like, hey, Justin, just want to hang out and tell you everything's going awesome. It's usually, hey, some bad things have happened. Made some choices. It's rarely cordial. So when Rachel and I sat down for dinner, we were like, what do you think they're going to say? I don't know. It felt like there was going to be something there. And then towards the end, what came out of it for this girl, she was like, when he met my dad, I was like, you can meet my dad. And when he met my stepdad, I was like, you can meet my stepdad. She said, of all the men in her life, I've had the most impact of any of them. And that my opinion of this guy mattered more than any other dude's. What? Like, more than her dad. And more than her stepdad who's helped to raise her, she's like, your opinion matters more. And so when I met him for the first time, I really did. We met, and I was like, what's up? And it was that. Like, I was for real like, what's up, man? Like, don't even check me right now. I will go back to my before Jesus life, right? And I looked him in the face and I was like, you better do this well. Like, she matters to me. She matters to our family. Like, you better treat her right. Just so you know, I don't have a gun, but I'll knock you out. Mm-hmm. Right? And that was it. Like, that was all that was. And he said, like, with her dad, with her stepdad, that didn't matter. But there was, for him, meeting me all of a sudden was something. Now, who am I? I'm just a guy, right? All I've done is hold a microphone twice a week for her middle school and high school career. And yet the continual investment into her, into her family, and just to say, man, I believe what Jesus wants to do in you and through your whole life, that is going to matter forever, right? Now, that you could say, I mean, how much does it really matter? What I'm telling you is, in that conversation between her and I, there's an internal impact that happened because of the way we spent a couple years. And I'm saying that's true of every one of you, not just me, right? That I'm not the only person who gets to have an impact in this room. I'm not the only person who gets to flesh that out. So we all, if we'll say a lifetime, we'll be faithful to Jesus for our whole life. That faithfulness is going to matter forever. And so we had an announcement on Wednesday for those of you who weren't here, but Rachel and I are in the process of beginning to step out of our staff role here at Hope. And so in our anticipation, about August 10th is probably one of the last staff days we would have here. And all of that's up in the air, but in August is one of the last times that Rachel and I will serve in a staff role. We could still be around here. Who knows? Because we have no idea where we're going. I mean, we literally are like, I don't know. But we've had this moment of felt like God asked us to say yes to following Jesus, to lay down our whole life and say, we'll follow you. We'll step out and leave all these things that would have us be secure, and we're willing to step out and go. So had a trustee, one of our board guys, he had said to me, I knew for a long time that this was a decision you need to make. I just didn't know if you would do it because of how safe this is. Because of how much, like, honestly, and there was a lot about my job and the role that I had and what would happen, you know, in the future, that it was really safe. Like, it was easy for me to plot out the rest of my life here. And he's like, but I knew you needed to make this decision. I just didn't know if you'd ever do it, right? So there's that moment, this 50-year-old man who's like, I didn't know if you'd do this. And to see you do it now encourages Jesus in me. Went to a doctor on Thursday, had my, like, physical. You don't really call it a physical when you get to be an adult. It's a wellness checkup. They just have to make sure you're doing all right. Eventually, the older you get, the more awkward that meeting becomes. But I walked into it going, I think I'm going to be stressed. Like, I bet he's going to say my blood pressure's through the roof. And I walked in, and I don't know about you, but every health test, I feel like I'm competing against myself. Right? So I'm like, when you say how well I'm doing health-wise, this is me against me. So she started doing my blood pressure, and I was like, like, I'm trying to be the Karate Kid, just zeroing in. And she's like, your blood pressure is awesome. Bam, nailed that. Right? And then so they have all these other percentages of where you're at, and I'm like, feeling good, feeling good. Are you telling me I still don't need to work out? Nailed it. All right. So when that all came through, doctor walks in, and he's like, oh, man, you're looking really good. Is your body doing good? I'm like, honestly, I'm stressed out of my mind. And he said, well, why are you stressed out of your mind? So I told him the story that I told everybody on Wednesday. If you didn't hear it, you can listen to it on the internet. But I told him that whole story, and he just started crying. He's like, oh, boy. What just happened? Right? Like, I don't know if you see grown men cry that often. I do not. And so here I'm just talking out loud with this guy, 56 years old, just starts crying. And he said, he's like, I've felt like forever that God was asking me to stop doing this and that I could go spend the rest of my life overseas serving people. And he's like, and the implications are huge. I've got kids and a family and all this. And he's like, and I've never met anyone who said they were willing to do it except you. Like, I've never met anybody who said they would leave everything. They'd lay their whole life down to follow Jesus. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. So then me and this doctor, right, like, I'm supposed to be there. You're supposed to be checking me out, right? Like, this is me to you. And it flipped on its head. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at this guy saying, isn't this what we do? Like, isn't this what we said we did when we gave our life to Jesus? Isn't this what it's always been about? It's always been about, I trust God enough that I'll give him my whole life whatever he asks. And there's not a dream, there's not a desire, there's not a thing we could ever wish for in the whole world that would be worth us holding on to that, to say that we'd keep that rather than to have all that God has for us. And so looking him in the face, I'm like, I don't know what it's like to stop being a doctor, but I know what it's like to feel like God has called you to something, and I know what it's like to have Jesus. And that's probably a lot more secure than whatever you have as a doctor, right? And so you could say, man, it's got to be a lot worse to be a doctor than it is to be a pastor. I mean, he's making cash, and I am not, right? I'm having a hard enough time making cash, right? But he is rolling. Like, you may think that it may matter there, and what I'm telling you is the same thing we told you when we were talking about giving. It's easy to look at someone's life and to say that sacrifice has to matter more. If you have not disciplined your life to sacrifice, then it's every sacrifice matters. Every sacrifice is going to be one that kills you. But if you're willing to say, I'll give up my whole life, and you live your life saying, I'll lay anything down to follow him, then nothing matters. Like, nothing is as important as Jesus. So here's we want to take this and saying, like, all right, how can we be faithful to our life? When we look around this room, like, every chair in this room represents a person. And we've had people write down some names, but there's an infinity number of chairs that we could put in here that represent the people that are close to our life. I think they say in a lifetime, you're going to connect with at least 10,000 people. I mean, that's insane, right? That's like MSU's basketball stadium, that's going to be the number of people that are connected to your life. You fill that out, and that's going to be, I mean, you could have way more people than that because of, like, Facebook and Instagram and everything else. If those are true, then you could look around this room right now and say, you're probably connected to enough people to fill up half of this room on your own. And if that's true, that every chair in this room represents a person, and every one of those people has a name, and every one of those names has a story, and every one of those stories matters to God because it was worth Jesus dying for. So when we talk about how can we have a lifetime of faithfulness, how can we commit long term, we're saying that this person, this relationship, their pursuit of Jesus is worth me dedicating my time, my energy, and my effort to. That for this person to come to know, confess, and believe in God, it's worth me spending my life to see that happen. And so for every one of us, as we've talked about in giving, and we talk about sacrifice, we talk about all that, every one of us has a step up the ladder. Every one of us has a moment where from here we can say, all right, if this is where I'm at, then I want to step up to the next one. If this is where I'm at. So we'll go from, I think most of you at this point will have spent some time with God in the way that we do it every Sunday. And so then we're saying, well, let's step that up to where you're doing that multiple times during the week. Let's step that up to where you're doing that throughout the day. Let's step that up to where God has an allotted part of your time every day, and not because you owe it to him, but because you love to give it. Right? And then let's talk about, you don't need to arrange time for God. You don't need to set up and stage this, but you get to say, my whole life is spent following Jesus, and I want to know him and speak with him and dialogue with him throughout every part of the day. And so the way we've kind of modified the prayer meeting to set it up right now is to say we want the opening part of what we do to be you spending time with Jesus. So we have, when Caleb and Sierra could come up here, when they get up here, they're just going to kind of strum along, play some stuff, sing some stuff. And it'll just be an opportunity for you to grab one of these sheets of paper. We've got a scripture for you today, and we're going to have you just kind of spend some time with Jesus in the a.m., right? 9:01, bright and early. The air conditioners are freezing right now, a.m. And we're just going to start to say, okay, let's start to take this where, man, I right now, I'm loving me some soapy soap, right? Like, my days are spent that way. I'm having it happen with my kids at home, that Rachel and I are doing this together. I mean, I had a dad text me and said, from dad to dad, how are you doing this stuff with your kids? Like, how do you spend time with God with your kids? And I'm like, here's how I do it. And I'm not at all convinced that I stumbled into something that, I didn't create this at all. I just remembered it. But I'm saying my passion and zeal for this right now is so much that I get to have one verse, two verses every day that just rock my whole world. And we're going to spend some time in that. We're going to come into where we worship together. We'll pray through Revelation 2. We'll have some other time where we corporately pray over these chairs and then you and pray it over each other, right? So Cameron's going to throw this verse up. It comes from YouVersion, that if you have a phone, if you have a computer, you can find this every day. They have a verse once a day that they'll share that you can read and kind of take a look at it. All right, so here's the verse for today. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. All right, so what we want to do is we're going to take that verse, and then what you're going to do is you're just going to try to find as many things about it as possible. Just write down as many pieces. I'll go ahead and give you a hint. If there's a comma, everything between the commas is something that matters. All right, so if you just want to cheat, There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 6 statements you can pull just because of the commas, right? And then the application is, if it says that, then what does that mean for me? If it's true that God, the Lord, is my redeemer, then what does that mean of me? If it says that he's going to teach me to profit, he's going to lead me in the way that I should go, what does that mean for me? And then we're at the end. You just get to write a prayer of, if this is what the verse says, if this is what it means to me, then here's what I would pray and ask God in light of those things, all right? So go ahead and walk up here real quick. Grab one of these pieces of paper. You can find any chair in the room. There's a Bible and a pen under every one. We're going to give you about 10 minutes where you get to just kind of work this, and then we'll get after it and do some praying and worship after.